This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The American League won the All-Star game at Nats Park last night, took an extra inning and 10 total home runs. Welcome back in, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Let's kick off our Beltway Blitz ahead of a conversation on Bryce Harper and some controversial comments by Alex Rodriguez about Harper at 12:18. Talking All-Star game right now. Brian McNally of the Sports Capital. Brian, what'd you think of Max Scherzer's two innings, four strikeouts, gave up the solo homer to Aaron Judge?
Yeah, kind of a up-and-down performance, I guess. Grant, really fun in the first inning. Some of those, you know, he struck out the first two batters. I thought that was a good inning for him. And then Judge got him in the second, obviously. But all in all, I thought it was what the crowd came to see, kind of that electric Max got up in the high 90s, right, which we haven't seen as much of this year. So all in all, I thought it was a pretty good performance.
Brian, if you like baseball in 2018, this game was for you. 25 strikeouts, 10 homers, the true outcomes, so to speak, 50% of the time, you got one of the three things, the strikeout, the home run, or the walk. If you don't like it in 2018, as you know, 6% attendance decline sort of indicates some people don't like it as much, this game is kind of your case in point here as to how it's changed. What's your kind of state of the union here when it comes to Major League Baseball in this moment, and what some of the players are talking about maybe for the need to make some adjustments going forward?
Yeah, Danny, that was kind of the cool part for me last night, is I got to kind of stay in the basement of Nats Park and just catch guys as they came out. The way the All-Star game works, these guys pretty much, when they're done, a lot of times will leave in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning, catch their ride to the airport or just head home. You would get to talk to Francisco Lindor and Brandon Crawford and all these different guys. And I asked almost every one of them that question. And, you know, the players seem more on board with it, I guess. They seem okay. They enjoy watching guys, you know, who can hit. Lindor told me that it in a game like that, it's guys are going to be super aggressive. They're going to take their swings. It's summer. The ball is going to carry. And they kind of like the game this way. But it's interesting that the fans don't always have that same opinion. I struggled to find any player who was kind of critical of that style of game. They all kind of acknowledged it's the way the sport has gone, and that's just the way it is, and they didn't necessarily have a great answer for why. But baseball does have an interesting problem there in terms of, is that appealing enough for people to continue watching?
Let's paint with a broader brush and go back into the festivities at large. What'd you think of D.C. as an All-Star game host? You've traveled to a bunch of these.
Yeah, I thought it was great, Grant. I thought it was a way it came full circle. We all remember when Nats Park opened. It was cool. Ryan Zimmerman hits a walk-off homer. But there's nothing around the stadium. There's nowhere to go afterwards. There's not many places. And so this kind of, you know, showcased D.C. as that neighborhood, Navy Yard's kind of arriving. And that was a good thing for me. I think talking to people from out of town, Grant, I know you did this too, they were impressed. Like, they thought it was an event. The city kind of lived up to the event. And that doesn't always happen if you have it in different places around the country. So in that respect, given that it's taken us 10 years to kind of get to this point, I thought it was a good way to showcase what the city has become and what D.C. has become as a baseball town.
All right, so let's go to the Nationals here in the second half. It's not really the second half. It's more of a second third. I mean, they got 66 games here to make up some ground, start playing better baseball. I mean, the deficit isn't too bad, but none of that matters unless they're better, frankly, a lot better than they were for extended periods here in this first half, Brian. Just kind of give me your prognosis for this team for the last 60-plus games.
Yeah, I talked to Davey Martinez yesterday in the NL clubhouse. He posted up and chatted with most of the local reporters, and he essentially said that, Danny, like, the time is now. There's no – they can't ease into the second half. They can't wait for it or anything like that. Lucky for them, it looks like they're going to activate Steven Strasburg, and he'll pitch Friday. That's huge. They need him, obviously, maybe not to be as good as he was last year in the second half, but they just need the reliability. They just need to know, okay, you know, we're not running out a double-A guy here on Monday, and we're probably not going to win this game. They need to know they have a chance, and maybe that'll take some of the pressure off the offense as these guys come back from injury. I know Ryan Zimmerman is looks okay in his rehab start, so you may get him back soon as well. You know, there's no time, though. I mean, 5.5 games out, the Phillies and Braves kind of feeling themselves. And more importantly, guys, with, you know, the Dodgers probably getting Manny Machado here, like the wild card is not necessarily in play for this team. I mean, they're only a couple of games out, but there's a lot of teams they have to battle for it. So really, they need to make a run at first place, and they can't waste much time doing it here.
Brian, hang with us because one of your colleagues is creating you a little bit more work. Let's talk some football. You're now our Redskins expert as well. You write about everything for the Sports Capital. Brian, what kind of year are you expecting Alex Smith to have? Can he repeat last year's breakout, which came over a decade into his career?
It's tough to repeat that, Grant. I mean, he had so many weapons in Kansas City. Look, the Redskins have good offensive players. I mean, there's no question. It's not like I think they'll be bad, but he's not going to have quite the weapons he did there. I mean, maybe you convince me otherwise if you tell me Jordan Reed gives you 15 games, which he's never really done in his career. Okay, then maybe I can see it. But I do think he'll fit in well. I think he'll fit in quickly. I like the urgency that Jay Gruden has kind of treated this offseason with. He's essentially like, look, there's no waiting around here. There's no, like, we're building for a couple of years from now. This is it. Like, he knows he's well into his coaching tenure here. He needs to have a good season. He needs to make a run at the playoffs. And I think Alex Smith won't be a problem. I think he'll be able to fit in well, and you'll see a guy who's able to take advantage of what the Redskins can do. To me, it's more about the pieces around him than about Alex Smith himself. I don't think he'll be as good as he was last year. I don't think he has to be. I think he just needs to give them some consistency at that spot.
At BMcNally14 on Twitter, give him a follow, writes for the Sports Capital. Brian, you kind of mentioned this, you touched on it. Like in an old building where all the pipes are designed a certain way and there's like a couple hinges, a couple moments that could spring a leak and ruin everything, or if they're working fine, everything works fine. That to me is where Jordan Reed is for this offense. An oft-injured superstar player when healthy. I think everything changes when he's not available. I think they just become less dynamic, and you could scheme a couple things up here and there to get some first downs, but man, oh man, it's just a different world when he's healthy. That's why I'm not terribly bullish on this season, regardless of how good a season Alex Smith has. I think they need Jordan Reed to be top shelf, and that's what scares me about this club.
Yeah, and that's the problem, Danny, is that, like, you're going into this going, okay, you know, if Jordan Reed stays healthy, you know, if one of the running backs emerges, which could happen, but, I mean, they have some nice young talent there, especially now with Darius Geis, but no guarantee that will happen his first year, that Rob Kelly will break out. How does the offensive line perform? Is Trent Williams healthy? He looks good in the Twitter videos we've seen, but that doesn't tell you how he's going to respond to offseason surgery. So there's just a lot of – and then defensively, obviously, there are holes at safety and, you know, questions at cornerback and all kinds of things going on. So you see the makings of a good team, but also a lot of potholes, a lot of places where things can go wrong and go bad quickly. And that's why it's kind of hard to put too much faith in them. Certainly not a team you would think would push Philly for any kind of division title. But even hanging around the wild card race, you just look at so many possible problems that it's hard to see them being a playoff team at the end of it. But maybe they'll prove us wrong.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate the time on the Blitz.
Thanks, boys.
See you, buddy.
We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan. The Nats had themselves, and D.C. baseball had itself, a proverbial parade this weekend. Alex Rodriguez served as the rain. He called out Bryce Harper and took issue with the superstar during his weekend. What he said and what general manager Mike Rizzo said about those comments on the Junkies, next right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. It looked like Bryce Harper was going to emerge from the All-Star break, having had a few days of nothing but positive headlines and everybody telling him how good he was. And then Alex Rodriguez spoke on The Herd with Colin Cowherd via Fox Sports over the weekend. Bryce Harper, as we talked about at the start of the show, is hitting just 214 this year. There's plenty of all-stars, and there's a lot of guys who have made the Hall of Fame who have hit 214 for half of a Major League Baseball season. He's got 23 homers and 54 batted in and an 833 OPS, so there's a lot of things that he's doing well also. But there was a moment that is impossible to defend, and there's no reason to. He hit a ground ball over 100-mile-an-hour exit velocity right at a shortstop, and because of that, very likely, was going to get thrown out at first base on the back end of a double play. This took place in one of the final games of the first half for the Nationals right before the break. It was bad enough in the penultimate day of their pre-All-Star break where Davey Martinez was asked by the reporters about it and whether or not he might consider benching Bryce Harper and or why he didn't pull him out of the game. And Davey Martinez basically said, listen, I'll talk to Bryce.
Yeah, we'll have a combo.
He knows what's expected, and I need more out of him than what he gave on that play. Harper was very short with reporters. This was right before he turned on the charm for the All-Star festivities and basically said, listen, guys, I hit the ball 106 miles an hour at a dude. I was going to be out anyway. That was kind of his excuse.
Right.
Here's what Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, you know, the guy who multiple times got in trouble and caught over the years cheating a Major League Baseball and was a maligned figure who has since made himself a lot more likable since his playing days, by the way. He's got a TV show right now where he rehabilitates former rich, once very well-off celebrities and athletes who have basically blown all their money. And he does a lot of cool, good things for the community, and he now dates Jennifer Lopez, and he's on television as a baseball analyst. And everyone seems to like A-Rod now. He was one of the most hated players in baseball for a long time.
Yeah, they like him more than they did 10 years ago.
But here is what Rodriguez, who hit 696 career home runs, said about Bryce Harper.
You know, ironically, it's been a very tough first half for Bryce Harper. Two reasons. Number one, you mentioned the 214 batting average, but I can get over that because he's a world-class athlete. But he's taken an enormous inside the game, Colin, with his reputation. And what I mean by that is he is pissing off so many people with not running to first base.
Yeah.
And they keep showing these replays over and over. And, yes, he's done it like that for 8 years. And is that Washington Nationals' fault just as much as his? Perhaps. But here's the problem. And I've been here twice. When you're a free agent and people are talking about $300, $400, $500 million for one player and you're not running down first base, everything is highlighted on a year like this year. So that's something to watch. He's dug himself a big hole statistically and reputation. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to Bryce Harper in the second half.
So he says he's pissing people off was the word he used around baseball. The only part of that that I really dislike, because a lot of it is just his opinion and he's allowed to have it.
Mm-hmm.
He's Alex Rodriguez. He knows more about baseball and his cuticle than I do. But he said this is what he's been doing for 8 years, as if he always trots down the first baseline. There are plenty of times where I see Harper kind of jog down the line and it annoys me. But like most players, he's very selective with when he does that. He might jog down the line when he's going to be thrown out. And one time out of 100, that ball might get airmailed or sailed, or a guy gets thrown and it has to come off the bag and can step back on first, and you'll be embarrassed and look like an idiot for it. He got benched by Matt Williams once years ago for doing this,
mm-hmm.
and because he did it then, and now he very obviously did it very publicly, as it made national news the other day. Guys like Alex Rodriguez, who don't follow the Nationals, who don't know a whole lot about Bryce Harper because they don't watch him day in and day out and how much he hustles, are going to now say this is what he's done for his entire career. Bryce Harper digging down the line in the rain just about tore his ACL on first base last season.
Uh-huh.
People forget that. He got injured twice in his career, matter of fact, in little issues at first base, collisions where he was digging and hustling down the line. This is a guy who got hurt a bunch early in his career, running into fences, diving for balls, running into barricades and tarps over by the first base bag, where basically he's been told by the organization, hey, you can't play a million miles an hour all the time. You can't play with your hair on fire every second of every single game. You're not going to last 15 years doing that. So now he adds and subtracts, and he does it kind of in spurts when he needs to. You got a guy like A-Rod telling you that he's pissing people off. He's been doing this for 8 years. I promise you I can go back and find plenty of times when Rodriguez trotted down the first baseline.
Yeah, you big leagued a room service, you know, two hopper to a second baseman. And that's part of it. I have no problem with that. Now, there is a happy medium between hair on fire, as like he was as a rookie or even as a second-year player, going all out, burning through your legs and making withdrawals from your body bank, so to speak, going crazy into first base, diving into walls and everything else, and that horrible-looking, barely breaking a sweat jog to first base on that two-hopper. I know you're frustrated. But we've all been there. We've all been frustrated, right? You can't look like you're playing softball at the local rec park and you've got, you know, two bad knees and an arthritic hip. You can't look that way. You just can't. So, yeah, you could come down on him for that correctly, no matter who you are. If you're a steward of the game, if you're his manager, you're the press, you're a fan who paid money to watch that, you should be irritated at that. I think Bryce would tell you the same thing in his heart of hearts, right? That's fine, and I think that's criticism worthy. The same way you could say, by the way, not okay to smash a bat against the wall and have it bounce back and hit you over the left eye and causing you to get stitches. That's not okay either. You can absolutely criticize when things are warranted. To then take that and sort of make it as if this is some lifelong pattern or this is what he's always done, Colin, and Cowher can't wait to say, yeah. Not accurate, not correct, settle down. But this pulse, I will say, what A-Rod's talking about, of him, quote, pissing people off in the game, it's a weird turn of a phrase, but is there more negative energy about Bryce out there in baseball after this first half than there was before? I think it's indisputable, right? I mean, you got quotes from guys like Jason Stark or folks in The Athletic, whether you got an NL executive saying that, you know, the way he's played for more than half a season, I don't know how anybody could do this. I don't, you know, this, he's not Machado, he's not Mookie Betts, he's not Trout, he's not even Giancarlo Stanton. You'd be making a mistake to pay him that kind of money. That pulse is out there, which is very different than before the season. ESPN pulls somebody and the NL executive, presumably a different guy, is going, he could get 15 years and $500 million. That's very different than these couple of sentences that are out there now. So, yeah, this is emblematic of kind of the vibe and the pulse of what's going on about Bryce Harper kind of around the game at this point. But I think A-Rod's off base here while he and Colin Cowherd are verbally high-fiving.
There was also the time he slapped a ball at a Bronson Arroyo's glove. Bet that pissed the people off in baseball.
Yeah, that was the worst move ever, by the way.
There was also the time he yelled, "I got it," forcing a Toronto Blue Jay to drop an infield pop-up.
Did that piss anybody off?
I'll bet that pissed some people off. Really? Alex Rodriguez is the guy to be telling Bryce Harper how to act and how not to act and what is right and what's not right in baseball? Right. Check your file, bro.
That's right. Alex Rodriguez, I'll be the one to deliver the message. What's that? No, it's not about me.
Here's
about
Mike Rizzo on the Sports Junkies earlier today when he was asked about what Rodriguez had to say.
You know, I really don't listen to what these prognosticators say about Harper or anybody else on my team. I like our guys. You know, the guys that I have on this team, that we put on this team, are here for a reason because, you know, I have to live with the guys for 7 months. So there'll be nobody with bad reputations and bad makeups in our clubhouse because they don't last too long because I don't want them around. So I don't listen to, you know, what these guys say. I didn't take what A-Rod said with any disdain because his opinion, never being around the team and not knowing Bryce Harper, has no weight on how I feel.
And that's kind of how I feel most of the time as well. Alex Rodriguez has become a really good analyst, to be completely honest with you. I like him. But he gets paid a lot of the time to say things that you and I are going to bring up on our show. And he did his job here. But most of these guys nationally don't always have a good beat on the specifics of the players on every single team and how they act and what they do every single night. I'll take A-Rod's breakdown on Bryce Harper's swing because he can watch the video and do that.
Yeah, and I've seen him do stuff like that. That's great.
I'll take his assessment on what it's like to be Bryce Harper facing somebody's ace stuff every single night or how to get out of a slump. There's plenty of things he can analyze that are going to mean a lot to me. Him telling me what Bryce Harper's done night in and night out for 8 years when he was playing a lot of those nights, and now he watches maybe
that's
one game every
too,
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what Bryce Harper's been doing. You ask me or Danny what he's been doing. We've been watching all the games. We can help you a little bit there. But this is a guy who early in his career, early on, Bryce Harper supposedly went too hard. Wasn't smart with his body, was too careless, was too reckless. Again, I mentioned earlier, you know, he has the make baseball fun again. He showboats too much. He's cocky. He's brash. He's not likable because he's overly, basically he was trying to have too much fun. He's showboating. He's flipping his bat. He's doing this. He's admiring homers. So he basically does none of those things, and now he's an unfun jerk. Can't win either way.
Exactly.
Similarly here, I get that you need to hustle out ground balls. Nobody's saying he shouldn't. But stylistically speaking, the idea that he doesn't hustle, this is a dichotomy because he's been benched once for it. You have examples like this, and there are others, by the way, where he doesn't run. There are times. Maybe he picks his spots poorly occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different conversation. What do you guys think about what A-Rod said, 800-636-1067, that this is what he's been doing for years and maybe it's the Nats' fault? And what do you think about what Mike Rizzo said, 800-636-1067? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Alex Rodriguez was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports 1. A-Rod, of course, got a big contract to become one of the top analysts over at Fox Sports, but somehow also is ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball analyst. He's on both networks.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how that works exactly, but I guess good for him for double dipping the chip.
He's all over the place. I always really respect dudes who just hustle their butts off after playing careers where they made all the money.
He doesn't need to do anything other than sit on a beach earning 20%.
Yeah, that honestly makes me proud of dudes. When you made millions of dollars, and in his case, hundreds of millions of them.
And I know everybody hates him, and that's fine. That's your call to. I know this. If he never took a steroid, if he never cheated, he was still incredible. He was still one of the best players I ever got to see. So I'm talking about, we can talk about that, then we can have another conversation about how much of a ninny he was as a player, how irritating he was so many times over with so many different things.
I was never a big A-Rod guy as a player. He has rehabilitated his image some, and I guess I'm a sucker or a lemming or whatever you want to call me because I buy it. I like a lot of what he's doing. He does so much and gives so much money for a lot of people. And I actually watch that show occasionally, that where he rehabilitates people's lives.
I've never seen that. I haven't heard of it.
Really?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So it's on like the same stations that always shows like Shark Tank for 4 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say like a CNBC or,
but that's it, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like that, right?
And basically, this show is, I've watched a couple of them, but the most recent one I saw was him and Joe Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a legit reality show where he flies in and he sits down with this guy and they go over your finances. And basically, like, he gets you back on your feet. So Joe Smith, the former Maryland star, had no money, and he's behind on all these payments.
Wow.
So A-Rod basically paid off his car.
He's like an infomercial guy.
Exactly. And he comes in, and he fixes your life, and he gets you going in a sustainable way as a business person. So he basically set up this lifestyle for Joe Smith to coach and teach people basketball in his hometown.
That's cool.
It's a really, really, really good show. And because of that and Shark Tank and some of the other things he's doing— and maybe there's just a coolness to him and J-Lo. And
I actually like him on Shark
Tank.
Fun
power couple. I do, too. I find him to be much more likable now. That said, you're not the person to tell Bryce Harper how to play baseball.
Yeah.
Because you're slapping the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's glove, and you're screaming at the Blue Jays as you're coming around third saying you got it. And if you forgot those moments, I was kind enough to go find them for you and post the videos on my Twitter account, at Grant H. Paulson, so that we all remember that A-Rod was a complete fool as a baseball player at times, and acted like a clown occasionally, and annoyed a lot of people and, quote, pissed people off around the game.
You remember what Jason Veritek told him? We don't throw at 240 hitters.
Yeah. That's a great line. Here was the A-Rod comments. We'll let you hear the Rizzo comments as well, and then we're going to get to the calls at 800-636-1067. This is what Rodriguez said to Colin Cowherd.
You know, ironically, it's been a very tough first half for Bryce Harper. Two reasons. Number one, you mentioned the 214 batting average, but I can get over that because he's a world-class athlete. But he's taken an enormous, enormous inside the game, Colin, with his reputation. And what I mean by that is he is pissing off so many people with not running to first base.
Yeah.
And they keep showing these replays over and over. And, yes, he's done it like that for 8 years. And is that Washington Nationals' fault just as much as his? Perhaps. But here's the problem. And I've been here twice. When you're a free agent and people are talking about $300, $400, $500 million for one player and you're not running down first base, everything is highlighted on a year like this year. So that's something to watch. He's dug himself a big hole statistically and reputation. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to Bryce Harper in the second half.
Alex Rodriguez on Fox Sports. Want to get calls on this in a moment. 800-636-1067. I've got a question and something to point out that just hit me while I was listening to that as well. But then the reaction from Mike Rizzo today is important. This was on our station just a few hours ago on the Junkies, as a matter of fact.
You know, I don't. I really don't listen to what you know, these prognosticators say about Harp or anybody else on my team. I like our guys. You know, the guys that I have on this team that we put on this team are here for a reason, because you know I have to live with the guys for 7 months. So there'll be no, as you've noticed, there's no nobody with bad reputations and bad makeups in our clubhouse because they don't last too long, because I don't want them around. So. I don't listen to, you know, what these guys say. I didn't take what A-Rod said with any disdain, because his opinion, never being around the team and not knowing Bryce Harper, has no weight on how I feel.
I liked the Rizzo reaction. I know you did as well, Danny. Mm-hmm. What I thought about, though, while listening to the A-Rod clip again, because my first instinct was he clearly doesn't like Bryce Harper very much. It doesn't sound like to me when they used the word pissed off, and it just seemed like there was some venom. But I remembered a few weeks ago having a conversation with Shorts out in the bullpen.
Uh-huh.
The last time the Nats were on national TV, they were playing the Phillies, you may remember.
Okay.
And it was right in the middle. I mean, I guess the whole last part of the season was a 3-month slump, it felt like, for
right.
Bryce Harper.
Since May, really. Hit under 200, yeah.
Exactly. But it was clear that night that he was like a man crush on Bryce Harper every time he opened his mouth, that he just loves the guy. He was gushing about him. Look at the swing. I'm telling you, Bryce is going to get right. And then he hit a double, and he's going, here he comes, here he comes. I mean, he was a fanboy for Harper. So I don't think it's as easy as just saying he doesn't like him. Because, again, I remember coming in here, and me and Blue Shorts were talking about it the next day.
I had forgotten about that.
He
That's
spent
a good
the
poll.
Entire night just raving, even on a bad night, about how Harper's going to be fine, and he's doing the same thing FP does, which is every time he makes any contact on a swing and he fouls the ball back to the screen, that's the swing. That's the one. He's back, baby. He's back. He's locked in tonight.
Uh-huh.
He was doing kind of that, put the pom-pom stuff on.
So I think about those sometimes at ESPN. Remember the story a couple years ago when Ron Jaworski had to, like, sell a storyline on Monday Night Football where they're like, we're doing a quarterback comparison. We're going, it's Brett Favre against some guy that'll be out of the league. But, like, he had to go sell the thing like it was a real matchup. ESPN will do that. They'll have storylines, and they'll have, you know, trying to generate some interest, right? So, but I still don't think it means that A-Rod dislikes or likes Bryce Harper one way or the other. But he was gushing that night. That's a great poll that you guys remember that I didn't. I would say, though, that the value of having someone like A-Rod, A, who played at the highest level and was a great player, as a Hall of Famer, as a superstar, still friends or knows, has relationships with a lot of guys in the game. So when you hear he's pissing people off around baseball, that means he probably was at the batting cage and talked to, like, one guy that he used to play with, or talked to one former assistant GM somewhere that's like, have you seen this? Like, this looks ridiculous. What's he doing? And then is able to kind of put that on television.
Well, I would even imagine, though, that there's a lot of people, I think his comment might be true, there's a lot of people around baseball that look at one of the stars not running down the line, and they get mad at that. And he probably is making a lot of people around baseball mad with that play. I think, A, every player has that moment a couple of times a month in the middle of a slump, I would be willing to bet you. And B, maybe this is more important, I don't know if that's the time to call him out, I guess, is my guess. And maybe that there isn't a good or a bad time, and it doesn't matter when he does it, but I think every player has that sequence. I think you're picking and choosing. It's the equivalent of recording for an hour and a half on a drive that someone's going on, everything that they do, and then showing the time they, like, went over the line because they were, like, opening up a bag of pretzels.
Or every Real Housewives show ever. There's 24 hours of footage where everybody talks to each other normally, and then you put everyone in the same room in an incubator, give them wine, and then hour 24 and 2 minutes, they have a fight, and that's what you show on television.
And if you guys disagree, that's cool. You can call me, 800-636-1067. You can talk to Danny on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines, 800-636-1067. But I do view the not hustling down the line as something every single baseball player is going to do several times over the course of a season. I see it all of the time, constantly. Now, you could say they should run a million miles an hour every single play, every single day. That's just not really the way the game goes. It's every night. It's 6 months. And I comp it to, You record someone driving a vehicle for enough hours, they're going to change a lane without their blinker, they're going to go over the line a little bit, and if you just show that and say, this guy's a bad driver, or you show someone getting cut off, you go, drivers are getting pissed off by this guy. Well, in that moment, they probably were, because that was a bad moment.
Yeah, you're not doing that if he's hitting 314. You're
Grant
doing it because he's hitting 214.
On the Fan, 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan, getting some tweets at Grant H. Paulson. You can tweet Danny at Funny Danny. And maybe it sounds like I'm defending Bryce too much, and that's not what I'm trying to do.
Well, we get accused of that all the time. I have no interest in.
Yeah, I'm more talking about Alex Rodriguez as the guy to send the message to Harper, not that what he said was wrong. Because Bryce Harper not running down the line was inexcusable. He came on the show soon thereafter and talked about it. That can't happen. I would have benched him if I was Dave Martinez. I would have pulled him from the game at that moment. And I said, listen, I love you. I know you love me. This is cool. What you just did, we can't have.
You're
one of the leaders on the ball club. We're trying to win every game. I got to send a message. And I think guys are going to be looking at me right now saying, is it okay that Bryce just did that? And I got to make sure everyone knows that's not okay. So I would sit him. But I do believe, and this is where if you want to take umbrage, I'm happy to have you call in. I believe that every single player in baseball jogs down the line when they should sprint plenty over the course of a six-month season. That is my take. That is my belief. And maybe you can prove me wrong. I'm open ears on this. I don't know. Maybe a guy like Mike Trout, who's the best player in the game, doesn't. But I'd be willing to bet on 100-mile-an-hour grounders right at infielders. Quite often, guys are thrown out halfway down the line where they're just kind of mailing it in when they've played 19 times in 19 days, and it's a grind. That happens all the time. It is the equivalent, as I keep saying, of just recording someone driving for hours on end, picking the moment where they did the worst thing they did behind the wheel and saying, bad driver. Well, no, everyone does that. You're driving for an extended period of time. You lifted your foot off the gas pedal and itched your leg, and you kind of jerked to the right for a second, and you went over the line on a highway on a four-hour drive. You started to hear the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. That happens from time to time.
So I would phrase it like this, or quantify it this way. From the, I'm going 100% tearing you-know-what down the line to try to beat it out because I'm sniffing a single, right? I hit a squibber, and I got a chance if the guy didn't make a great play to get one. So of a maximum effort, 100%. I think most guys on a room service two-hopper to somebody aren't going as slowly or with less effort than Bryce did there. In this case, it's being picked up. So I'll say he, for the sake of argument, that was a 10% jog. Where if the guy bobbled the ball or the second baseman flipped it up and messed it up, he didn't have a chance to beat out a mistake. And that's all you're asking for. That's all I'm asking for as a baseball fan, as someone that cares and is invested in the team. You're going to be out. He's 100% right. What if there's a mistake? You need to give yourself a chance in that play. 10% jog is not okay. Everybody in the big leagues, everybody at Triple A, everybody in college baseball, for the most part, on some play where you're already out, you don't have to sprint through the bag like a psychopath. You don't have to do, Rex Hudler every single play. So everybody's doing the 65, 70% sprint. That's A-okay. And everyone does do that. Not everyone does the 10%. And that's why I would have done the same thing. I said, hey, sit your butt down. You can't give me the normal cursory effort. I would have benched him after he hit himself in the head, gave himself a bloody face years ago. There are things that you can say, hey, this isn't okay, but still you got enough good deposits in the bank where I'm not moving on from you because you're not a good guy. He's got plenty in the good guy bank. This is bad. I would have punished it.
Let's go to Ernie in Fort Washington on the Fan. What's up, Ernie? How are you?
Big McCracken.
I'm doing fine. Issue I have with Bryce, and I like Bryce Harper. I just feel like a prime example is back when Tiger Woods was playing pretty regularly and he was dropping F-bombs, and everybody was saying throughout the tour, well, everybody drops F-bombs, but Tiger's is magnified because the camera's always on Tiger. Well, with Bryce Harper, I mean, everyone sees who runs from home to first on each ground ball. So it's not like you can say, well, it's the camera on Bryce all the time and not on these other guys. So I say that to say every manager that Bryce has played under has had to answer that question about him loafing going down first base. But the biggest issue that bothered me was on the third of July, he crushes a ball that hits the wall. And when they show it on replay, he's carried the bat damn near halfway down the first baseline.
Right.
And he doesn't kick it into gear until he realizes it hits the wall at first, where he should have had a triple. He has to hustle to get a double. So I wonder sometimes whether he, you know, whether there's a double standard, because it seems like Bryce gets a pass on these all the time.
I don't think he gets a pass at all. I think he got benched for it. I mean, and has been called out for it for several days. I actually think it's the opposite. I think a lot of guys do it. What you're referencing happens in baseball every single night in at least one game, where a guy thought he hit a homer and has one extra base more available to him than he actually gets because he didn't dig out of the box. That happens all the time. I would be willing to bet that more Nationals than not this year have cost themselves a base by admiring a near home run they thought was out. I would like for no one to do that. I just don't know how realistic that is. But I don't think he gets a pass. I think we pick and choose kind of when we're going to be mad about it and outraged about it. And I think if you're a superstar like Bryce, your point was correct. That's one of the times when we get outraged. That said, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm excusing it. I'm just saying this is what happens. But the other part of this is it shouldn't. Bryce Harper should never not run until the ball hits the top of the fence. He shouldn't not hustle. He gets paid $20 million. He's one of the leaders of the team. He needs to be great if this team's going to be great. It's a problem when he doesn't hustle. And as I said, I would have benched him for what he did the other day to send the message, because there is a higher standard for him, which is why we're talking about it. Because guess what? If this was Wilmer Defoe not hustling, or this was Matt Adams or anybody else of the many guys who I'm sure have jogged to first at some point in the last couple seasons, it doesn't make the Colin Cowherd show as a questioned Alex Rodriguez. So heavy lies the crown thing. Brian Winchester, what do you got?
I'm just wondering how much Greg and Dave, hey, good to have you. Glad to be on the show.
Thank you, bud.
I'm just wondering how much of that was just script. Whenever I hear you guys, not necessarily this show, but when I hear just some off-the-wall comment, I just wonder, would they just handed a script and saying, hey, you don't have to say this?
But also,
and I can think of several examples.
We occasionally get that email where it's our day to
the conspiracy
perpetuate
email,
the
right?
controversy.
Yeah. That's a good
point. Like I said, I don't, not necessarily this show, but I've heard other shows. Definitely Stephen A. Smith, that I can think of. That, who was it? I think it was JP that tweeted when it was either Stephen Smith or Marshall Faulk commented on Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was
$10 million. And that was, it's either they're handed a script or they should be held accountable whenever they say stuff that makes no sense at all.
I always believe that, Brian. By the way. It's my number one thing in the thing that we do, that where I want accountability. I want to be able to come on and say, hey, I was wrong about this. Just the same way I'd say, hey, I was right about something. I think that stuff's important. I think we should be accountable for our words. I really do. I've said some things I absolutely regret and should be held accountable for those things. It's very easy just to say the hottest thing and then expect to be taken seriously the following day. I hate that about our society.
Love that. Love that call. Because I think you're right. And it reminded me of the Marshall Faulk take, which was the best, which we haven't heard in a little while.
Oh, it was.
I haven't thought about
how
that.
How flamed was that?
But we get those sometimes. Grant and Danny on the Fan, cruising toward the final hour of our show. Gets started with the big one at one next.
Grant and Danny for Window Nation. It's almost over. It's the final week of Window Nation's buy one, get one free sale. It's your last chance to buy one window, get the next one absolutely free. And there's no limit. You buy four, you get four for free. You buy eight, you get eight for free. It's like buying windows for the front of that house and getting the back for free. Plus, how about 0% financing for not just 18 months, but if you call today, Grant, it's 0% financing for 36 months.
Wow. That sounds pretty amazing.
Pretty
Danny.
Good.
0% financing for 36 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wowie. And they're going to give you two tickets to King's Dominion. Go get yourself some cotton candy and ride the Anaconda. All that is a good time, Danny. Our friends at Window Nation have taken good care of us. I got the big bay window, got a nice door going out on the back deck. They did it right the first time, as they always do.
Love them. 866-90-NATION. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. You got to tell them Grant Danny said Window Nation, perfect fit for your home and wallet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.